Clear the decks for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The very best Medicare podcast in the whole wide world. And now crapped out once again, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, the podcast for lazy people of all persuasions. Oops, maybe I shouldn't say anything because Drew McMillan often has pithy words to open our show with, and I don't want to duplicate anything he might have said. This is Doug Jones. He probably told you that I'm your Medicare expert, and I am here today to serve man, which was the title of a Twilight Zone episode involving aliens that like to eat humans. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to serve anybody who is interested in learning more about Medicare. And to that end, I have a little chapter in my book that I want to read called The Best Kept Secret in Medicare. The book is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. We're coming to the end of the 2020 run. I'm trying desperately to find some spare time to start writing the 2021 version of the book, but had a curveball thrown at me. Tragedy struck. I'm going to let Randy talk to us about it, but in the meantime, I'm going to introduce him by saying, Randy, could you play our 30-second radio spot, please?
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you very much. And here's the man himself, Randy Carson.
Hello, I am here.
Tell us about the big tragedy that befell us.
Oh, we had a tragedy earlier this week. My computer crashed very unceremoniously. One moment it was doing fine, and the next moment it was repeating the same word over and over and over again, like a broken record.
What was that word?
It was something
was it
out
supercalifragilistic.
No, it wasn't anything nearly that exciting. I think a sound clip out of one of my sound files. Like it had all of a sudden decided to play that sound file, and then once I killed it, and I do mean killed it. It wouldn't come up again, so I had to rebuild the machine. And unfortunately, the disastrous part...
Could we have recorded about 20 minutes of that and used it as a podcast episode?
You mean me cussing?
Well, I'm thinking maybe our audience, as loyal as they are, would almost forgive anything. Well, it's not his fault he's cussing.
It would have been a good test. I'm not sure they would have bought it, but anyway, I stayed up the night, got the machine rebuilt, and unfortunately, the machine died before the daily backups went, so we lost a few files, but we're going to try to rebuild them and bring it back up to snuff.
What he's saying is that our combined genius of six Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast episodes went up into the ozone, never to be recovered again. So I've been torturing myself trying to think of what I could have talked about during those episodes. I just have bare, sketchy notes, and mailbag, the DBJ at MLM mailbag items that I read are gone forever because I read them, I comment upon them, and then I fling them across the room, and never to be recovered again. So the mailbag did not refill itself, and we're going to have to start with new Medicare content in many regards. But I do remember that one of the episodes I read from my book. my favorite chapter because it sets me apart from all Medicare experts everywhere. No other Medicare expert in the United States that I've heard of addresses the subject of high deductible Medicare supplement plans. And as Randy pointed out during the last time we had this episode recording, they suffer from a very unfortunate name, that name, high deductible. And when somebody says, well, what's the deductible? And you tell them, well, this year it's $2,340. Next year, who knows? The federal government sets the deductible every year. A high deductible Medicare supplement plan sounds like a very scary thing until you realize how inexpensive it is and how much money you save every month compared to a regular version of the same plan. Let's say the high deductible G versus the plan G. The savings is so substantial that the average healthy person that's confident in his health and who's willing to take a little bit of a risk is going to be very well served. But let me read chapter 7 in Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. And if you haven't fallen asleep after a few pages, then you will hear me again addressing, in real time, our Medicare quandary, which is the best Medicare supplement for me. So chapter 7, the best kept secret in Medicare, high deductible plans. High deductible plans are a terrific bargain. It's too bad most agents won't talk about them. You see, they would rather earn hefty commissions rather than to give valuable advice that might cut into their earnings and save the client some money. The fact is, agents earn more when the product they sell is more costly. The official description of these plans is that they have a hefty $2,340 annual deductible before picking up the balance of all unpaid medical bills. This completely ignores the fact that Medicare will begin paying bills right after its very small deductible has been covered each year. The insured will not pay the first $2,340 of medical bills if they get sick or hurt. Medicare will pay the lion's share of the bills after the relatively small Part A or Part B deductibles, depending on the kind of treatment needed. The insured will pay a much smaller percentage of the bills until, in the unlikely event of a very bad year, his small portion adds up to the plan deductible. After that, 100%, baby. The name high deductible is completely misleading, and the downside risk is so very limited that the average person will be flush with extra cash from the first month of buying the high deductible plan. The reality is that Medicare will have been paying 80% of the outpatient expenses starting right after that $198 deductible. Do you remember the beautiful days before Obamacare changed the health insurance landscape, driving up costs and removing many of the choices people could make? Most people had a medical plan that imposed a small deductible first, and then coinsurance or cost-sharing period, and finally began to pick up 100% of medical bills for the rest of that year. For instance, a common plan could be described as having a $250 deductible, 80-20 coinsurance of the next $5,000, and 100% thereafter. This was almost universal until a few years ago, and it did a very good job of protecting people from otherwise painful medical bills. A smart Medicare supplement purchaser may keep a similar level of protection at a very small monthly premium charge. A person buying the high deductible plans F or G will have something like a $200 deductible, and then 80-20 of the next $10,000, and then 100% coverage for the rest of the year. Medicare will always pay its portion first. Medicare doesn't know whether there is a supplement or not. It just goes along paying its 80% of the outpatient bills after that $198 deductible. For Part A expenses, it pays all of the hospital charges after the $1,408 per admission deductible. This means Medicare pays 100% of the hospital costs after a very reasonable deductible. and 80% coverage for outpatient expenses after a very small deductible. Even if there is no supplement in place, in the unlikely occurrence of a disastrous series of medical events, the downside risk of high deductible plans is very reasonable indeed. As stated elsewhere, this book is written with a particular audience in mind, those who are not infirm and those who are not destitute. This group can generally afford to pay the reasonable price of regular plans F or G, which are the Cadillac and most popular of Medicare supplement plans. However, as comprehensive as the benefits of F and G are, they may not be the most cost-effective choice. My healthy clients always appreciate the cost-benefit of high deductible plans once it's properly explained to them that the term high deductible is a complete misnomer. When we are talking about patient Part B expenses, that's outpatient Part B expenses, what we really have is a $198 deductible and 20% coinsurance of the next $10,000. After that, the plan pays 100% for the rest of the year. It is extremely unlikely that the average person will have total bills anywhere near $10,000. That means he will be saving something near $100 per month, year after year, by choosing a high deductible plan. So in a good year, the policy owner will likely save $1,200 or more in comparison to the higher cost of Plan F or Plan G. What if disaster strikes and medical expenses grow to a very large number in a given year? The insured person has plenty of downside protection from nasty surprises. If he has to spend all of that $2,340 out of pocket towards the deductible and coinsurance, remember that he very likely saved $1,200 in premium costs. So that just leaves less than $1,200, or about $100 per month on the average, to meet his share of the high deductible plan until it starts paying 100% for the rest of the year. What about the monthly savings the insured enjoyed for the many years that expensive medical treatment wasn't needed? And what about the many years of good health and monthly savings that will follow that one unfortunate year? Well, that's money in the bank. So that's what the book has to say about high deductible plans. And remember, you heard it here, not just first, but only because nobody else in America that I'm aware of is touting the benefits to the client of high deductible Medicare supplement plan. Randy, did I thoroughly confuse you and the audience?
Well, I'm always confused, but I can't speak for the audience. But I will say, you know, when I was out shopping for Medicare supplement, I don't, you know, to your point, Doug, I don't ever remember my insurance person ever bringing up the concept of a high deductible, ever.
I can speculate on the reason for that.
That's probably because they don't make as much money, yeah?
Oh, well, I've already speculated on the reason. Yeah, that speculation would be accurate, I believe. They don't want people taking plans that are really, really inexpensive because a commission is a percentage of what you pay.
Right,
and,
right.
If you're not paying very much to the insurance company is not going to pay very much in commission to the agent.
The other side of that, I don't remember, now, is it possible that the same agent would be pushing both supplements as well as his Vantage plans, or is that typically not how it works?
Agents often will sell any damn thing that the client asks for. So they will have Advantage plans and they'll push those. And if the client then says, you know, I've heard supplement plans are actually better than Advantage plans, I want to know what you have in the way of supplement plans. The agent then will pivot and say, all right, let's talk supplement plans, as if they're all equal.
Right.
I, on the other hand, I have a moral dilemma. I don't want to burden any of my clients with a Medicare Advantage plan because I know I'm going to be getting unhappy phone calls, perhaps even angry phone calls from them down the road. The odds are that they're going to have this plan turn into something they didn't expect it to be, and they're going to be very unhappy, and they're going to be calling me to ask me to solve the problem. So My moral compass tells me don't sell Medicare Advantage plans. And so I would be different than that agent who sells everything.
I don't, to my agent's credit, I don't remember ever her bringing up Advantage plans either. So, maybe she's one with a moral compass also.
That's entirely possible, but she's not tooting her horn like I toot my horn.
No. She's not tooting anything.
My horn gets tooted on a regular basis. There have been accusations thrown at me that I am too lazy or maybe too dumb or both to do all of the preparation that has to be done each year in order to certify for Medicare Advantage and prescription drug plan. Those certification processes involve taking tests. You have to get 90% on some of the tests. You have to answer, a lot of questions correctly, and you only get a couple of tries, three tries typically. And this burns up many, many nice, warm, sunny days in the summertime because that's when the season for certification opens up. And if this woman has not certified or recertified, then that could explain it too, that she just doesn't want to sell those plans. Or she might be be as morally repulsed by Medicare Advantage plans as I am, and maybe she ought to be tooting her own horn.
Do I remember correct when you told me you're licensed in every state?
Every state.
And you also keep current on all your Medicare Advantage stuff, if for no other reason than to be aware of what's cooking over on that side of the fence, right?
I want to be aware of what's cooking on that side of the fence. So when something changes, I can compare what we're selling to that. Because I never say that Medicare Advantage will always be a horrible choice. I just think it's kind of a bad choice for most people right now. They could improve it. And if they improve it, I want to be aware of it so that I can change my opinion. As you might remember, we've recently discussed the Lasso Healthcare Medicare MSA, which is a Medicare Advantage plan that I don't hate. So I want to keep an open mind. But in the meantime, my competitors cannot make a charge stick that I'm too lazy or stupid to go through the testing every summer to stay compliant, because I do that even though I don't need to do it because I never sell Medicare Advantage.
You know, that's really something you ought to tout more. Is that, I am licensed for just about everything that's not nailed down in the United States, and I have the ability, as you've seen in my book, to compare and contrast what's better in a certain situation.
I like the idea of touting, but I'd rather hire somebody to tout it for me so I can pretend to be modest, and I can blush and go, aw, shucks a lot.
Aw, shucks.
Recently, I've had a rash of people contact me saying, I bought your book, I read your book, I've become a believer, and I like not just Medicare supplements, but I also like high deductible Medicare supplements. And so it's working. It's just that there are so many baby boomers turning 65 or approaching Medicare eligibility that we can't hit them all, but we can whittle down the number so that a larger number of people have a better experience with Medicare and Medicare supplements. One guy, very successful, he wrote to me and he said, okay, I got your book, barely had time to scan it. He said, I don't have time and I don't have the interest to study Medicare, so what should I get? Tell me. Now, most people have wives that delve into this stuff like students, in a study hall, they have all the books and everything. But this guy doesn't. I don't know what his deal is. He's in Atlanta. He's an engineer, has his own company. He said, I don't have time or interest in messing around with this. And what do you suggest for me? And I asked him a couple of questions, and I said, all right, here's what I suggest. And he said, I'd rather pay the full bore Plan G premium, which is a lot higher than the high deductible premium. He said, I just don't want to have to mess with any 20% bills coming in here and there. Even if I save money, it's not worth it to me. And I said, okay, fine. So what do you suggest? He said. So I wrote him a letter and I said, this company would charge you this much. This company would charge you this much. And then I said, and the following paragraph, I think you should completely skip. And then I told him what the high deductible Medicare supplement cost would be for him. And I explained how it worked in a fairly lengthy paragraph. And so I said, okay, now you can begin reading again because I have now dealt with Medicare, high deductible Medicare supplements, even though you didn't want me to. And he wrote me right back and he said, ah, damn. He said, that is such an attractive number. That small premium I'd be paying every month gives me substantial savings. He said, I cannot ignore it. So let's do that. So I sold him a high deductible Medicare supplement plan. All that work, I was making probably $1.50 an hour with the explanation and how much does this company charge in this plan and his county and all that stuff. But basically, he became a believer just by looking at the facts. So I'm hoping that more people will do that.
Well, I think statistically, Doug, if you look at the advertising statistics, that if you have a customer that is pleased with your process, they tell on average 8 to 10 of their friends and relatives. And I think if they're displeased, it's like double. So, because
well,
you
I've
have
irritated, no, I've irritated my share of people throughout the years.
Because you have nothing, you have many, many, many more happy clients than you have unhappy clients. You're just going to have to work harder for more happy clients. That's all.
And that's fine with me. I don't mind doing that. I'll stay up all night making my clients happy, just like Randy stays up all night trying to repair broken electronic stuff. One way or the other, it pays off, I guess, huh?
It does. It does. Plus, I have seen the grin on your face every time you land a deal for a high deductible. It's like a win. Win for the little guy.
Well, let me share what the agent's perspective is. And I don't think agents think about this very much. But every time that person pays that premium, I get just a few dollars. Not many dollars, but a few dollars. So now, what is the advantage to me as the agent? We all like business that is persistent. That's the insurance guy talk for business that the customer is so happy with the product that they're never even going to think about shopping for a different product from a competitor. So why would that be? Let's suppose the insurance company has to boost the cost of the product by, let's say 5%. Well, 5% of $33 in California is almost nothing. You know, 10% of $33 would be $3.30. So 5% of that would be a little over $1.50. Now, somebody who's had a product that's performed well, it's $1.50 more expensive next year than it was this year, they're not going to consider buying a different product from a competitor. They're going to say, all right, well, you know, prices go up. So that's one big advantage of going with a high deductible plan from the agent's perspective, because the business is persistent and the customer won't be constantly looking around for a better deal.
Well, that
they,
plus...
They stay happy.
Oh, yeah, they stay happy. And that plus the average individual is going to look at that increase. So let's say it's 5%, $1.50. They're going to look at that and go, my time is worth more than $1.50. So be it. Prices went up. Let's go.
That would sure be the case with this client in Georgia. He didn't even want to think about saving money because he assumed that it would be just better for him to pay the higher cost and never have to be bothered with a small co-insurance payment. But he's happy with the low monthly cost. And if he goes to the doctor charges $100 for an office visit, then he's going to pay $20, but he will have saved $100 that month. And yeah, he's going to save $100 the next month, and he saved $100 the month before. So he understood the fact that savings is impressive with a high deductible Medicare supplement.
Well, Doug, we have burned up our steam.
Why am I not surprised? I've been yakking all afternoon.
That was a great chapter out of your book. I think everybody that has a copy of your book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, really this afternoon ought to pull that copy out and read that chapter one more time, because even though I help you edit the book, I mean, I pick up things as you go through those that I didn't pick up before, and I've helped you with, 3 years worth of book?
3 years. We're coming up on 4. Get your editing pants on because we're going to be doing it again.
You would think I'd have that thing memorized front to back, but I don't. So that was a great thing to do. I thought that was a great idea. It's always worth the review. But we're going to have to say goodbye for today.
I know.
Everybody, and they got to go to Amazon if they don't have a book. Go to Amazon.com, pick up your copy of Doug's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020 from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. You can have it in digital. You can have it in audio. You can have it pretty much any flavor you want. Just go there and
get it. I got to tell you, the Audible books, I think maybe I got a whole slew of blind people interested in studying about Medicare because the audio books have been flying off the shelves lately. I don't know why, but all of a sudden, big activity in the audiobook department.
Well, you know, that could be, but there's also the possibility, you know, a lot of people listen to these, you know, with the advent of the, you know, whatever you want to call it, lockdown, they could be listening to these things as they're doing their exercises. They could be listening to your audio book as they're driving to grandma's house. You know, there could be a lot of reasons, but I think predominantly the audiobook is catching on because I think they're always the second, kind of the second tier even to be produced with a written book. Yeah.
Well, maybe so. I'm not an expert enough. I spend all of my time thinking about Medicare morning, noon, and night, which is why Randy and I don't spend too much time socializing because when he hears the word Medicare, his eyelids slam shut and he just starts snoring.
They did. But as you know, one way to get me woke up and fired up is to start talking about what?
The website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. That's a fantastic place Randy created. It's like a playground for Medicare insurance types.
Yes. And also they can write you at DBJ at MLMMailbag.com. We love to hear from you. Doug loves to hear from you. And most of the time he will answer very, very quickly, which is unlike other authors, I'll tell you.
I do enjoy communicating with people who are interested in talking about Medicare. So, once again, thanks, Randy, for helping me put this podcast episode together. And I'm looking forward to our next opportunity to do it again.
Absolutely. So until then, everybody needs to put their tray in its upright and locked position. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and the sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.